Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. George Bush today says the U.S. had what he terms a reasonable chance of shooting down a long-range North Korean missile if it had actually been heading toward the U.S. Bush is still urging a diplomatic solution to the testing program in North Korea. At a news conference in Chicago today, Bush said if you act alone, you can move quickly, but he says he's determined to have the United Nations Security Council tackle the missile testing issue. Bush says you quickly run out of options when you're at the table alone. A new UN resolution from Japan calls for sanctions despite Russian and Chinese opposition to that idea. China's UN ambassador says such a resolution would ignite or have negative reactions for the region. George Bush also says the U.S. is a land of immigrants, but the system is broken and needs fixing. In the news conference in Chicago, Bush said immigration reforms need to be enforcing the law and showing compassion. Bush says more manpower and new technology will keep people from sneaking across the border, but he says the people coming into the U.S. are seeking jobs Americans are not taking. So Bush says there should be a way to legally match a willing worker and a willing employer. He says it's impractical to throw out all the illegal immigrants in the U.S., and he also says it won't work to give automatic citizenship. Bush says a compromise needs to include consequences for breaking the law and a path to citizenship. The suspected mastermind of a New York City bombing plot is under arrest. Federal officials say the plot focused on the tunnels under the Hudson River between New York City and New Jersey. They declined to say whether it was the car tunnels or train tunnels. This was supposed to occur sometime this October or November, but New York City Police Chief Ray Kelly says the plot was not anywhere close to being operational. He stresses there's no indication materials had been secured or reconnaissance had even been done. Still, he says it's proof New York is still in what he calls the crosshairs of the terrorists, the main suspect being held in Lebanon, two others also in custody. Private memorial services planned in Houston and Aspen, Colorado, for Enron founder Ken Lay. He died Wednesday in Colorado as he was awaiting sentencing on fraud and conspiracy charges. A private memorial service set for Sunday near Aspen, Colorado, and a second memorial service scheduled for Wednesday at a church in downtown Houston. This is Air America Radio News.
You know, our missile systems are modest. Our anti-ballistic missile systems are modest. They're new. It's a new research. We've gotten testing them.
Well, that's certainly comforting. Yeah, it's Friday. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Welcome to the program tonight. We have Chucklenuts was in Chicago today, where he was at the Museum of Science and Industry. Yeah, that's where he was. And he had had a press conference there. So we have all the moron sounds you'll ever need on the program tonight from the Museum of Science and Industry. And last night on Larry King, we have a few sound bites from the interview. Let me just call it interview. I was going to say another one of those nasty words, but I better not. Last night with Larry King, you got to hear it. Even with an earpiece, he sounds like a complete idiot. It's astonishing. So what we're going to do tonight is we have a couple of items here. I want to touch on Paul Krugman's column. It was in the New York Times today. Another article in the New York Times today about how the U.S. military now is recruiting, accepting skinheads, white racist hate groups. Our precious U.S. military, you know, support the troops and all that, is starting to turn into something not dissimilar to the brown shirts that helped Hitler get to power before the brown shirts were all eliminated by the SS. But it's very strange things going on in America. This is a weird time to be an American, isn't it? I mean, seriously. For those of us who really care about this country and its institutions and what we've tried to do for 230 years, these are truly, truly weird times. I guess you heard about what happened to former Secretary of State Colin Powell. He was in Aspen, Colorado, and got sick early today. He fell ill at a restaurant, I guess on Thursday night, where he was having dinner with Bill Clinton and several other people. Aspen Police Sergeant Bill Lynn said he is conscious and in very good spirits. That was shortly before Powell was released from Aspen Valley Hospital at 1:45 a.m. today, Friday. Sergeant Lynn said Powell had asked him to let reporters know and let the public know he was okay. Now, a nursing supervisor at the hospital refused to comment. This is the same hospital, of course, where Ken Lay was rushed to and pronounced dead the day before, the day before on Wednesday. So Colin Powell gets sick and goes there on Thursday. And apparently Powell was in Colorado for the Aspen Ideas Festival, a conference in its second year that invites some of the world's leading thinkers. Colin Powell? He's one of the world's leading liars, but oh well. So anyway, in light of what happened to Colin Powell, you know, it's probably food poisoning, right? He got a bad piece of fish, maybe. You know. In light of that, Bruce in New Jersey sent me an email. He said, "Hey, Mike, so Ken Lay dies in Aspen, Colorado a few days ago. Now Colin Powell falls ill having dinner with Bill Clinton in Aspen, Colorado. I bet you $10 John Negroponte is in Aspen, Colorado. I don't think we're going to hear much out of Scooter Libby anytime soon." Bruce in New Jersey. Yeah, I get your point, Bruce. Now, last night we mentioned about Aleister Crowley, the crazed Victorian age Brit Satan worshiper, or what? I don't know. I don't know what he was. I'm familiar with his name. I read a little bit in the popular press about him. But the fact that there's a possibility that he is Barbara Bush's actual father, because Barbara Bush's mother apparently was a follower of Aleister Crowley's and made a trip over and joined his love nest and had sex with him or something and came back and 9 months later had a baby. Go figure, right? Let's see. I get this mail from Arturo, who says, "Mike, don't let the Christian propaganda infect your brain. Crowley was neither a Satanist, nor did he sacrifice children. He is a misunderstood figure who has been discredited precisely by the Christians you despise so much, just because he did not believe in any of the BS and hypocrisy they profess. Was he a drug addict? Yes. Was he a sex-crazed lunatic? Yes. Was he a mystic trying to push the envelope of the human psyche? Yes. Was he Barbara Bush's father? Maybe. And that would be probably the most hideous crime he committed. Why was he called, quote, the wickedest man in the world? Close quote. Because he was against all the hypocrisy and morality of the Victorians. Imagine yourself in Victorian society. What would people think of you? He used drugs, he experimented sexually, and was against the ethics and morals of the status quo. Maybe in 100 years people will say, oh, that Malone, I guess he means Malloy, that Malloy, the most perverted man in America, just because you spoke truthfully and against mainstream society and the morals, ethics, and religion. Could that have happened to Crowley? Regards, Arturo, and his last name. Okay, you know, I tried to make it clear last night that I, you know, couldn't really state with any authority anything about Aleister Crowley except for the fact that I knew he was kind of an anti-Victorian. Paul Krugman in today's New York Times, I deeply respect Paul Krugman, but I wonder if Krugman is trying to make the point that all of a sudden his bosses at the Times or people at the LA Times or the Wall Street, Washington Post are starting to realize something that those of us in liberal talk radio have been talking about for 4 years. Or longer than that, 5 years, 6 years. The utter, unprincipled, and serious attack on news media in this country, on the media in this country, the press, and the willingness of the press to go along with it, to allow themselves to be flayed, beat, strung up, made asses of, and the fact that the press in this country has willingly gone along with all the lies, all the deceptions, all the ugly behavior of this corrupt, filthy administration without a peep. Now, all of a sudden, as a payback for their complicity in helping the Bush crime family move this country to fascism, the press is now being attacked. Most notably, of course, the New York Times. New York Times had a couple of CIA operatives, I won't say their agents, but operatives, like Judith Miller, working for them, that led the charge to validate the attack on Saddam Hussein when there was absolutely no justification for it whatsoever. All the lies that the New York Times published, I don't mean lies by Jason, whatever his name was, the guy that wrote the fictitious stories. No. Judith Miller and Jeff Gertz and just a whole herd of lying people, so-called journalists in the New York Times and a couple at the Washington Post, who were more than willing to grease the way for the Bush crime family to take this country into something unique in its history, and that was an unprovoked war against a people that had no means of even defending themselves, much less resisting. And that war ended with the overthrow of Saddam and has now become an occupation. It is a total occupation. This is not a war. It is an occupation. Oh, and by the way, those of you who keep sending me emails telling me not to refer to it as a war, call it an occupation. Well, duh. You know, stop sending me the emails, okay? They're very irritating. I've been calling it an occupation for months. But anyway, I digress. So Krugman says the following today in his column. The nature of the right-wing attack on the New York Times seems to have startled many people in the news media. After an editorial in the Wall Street Journal declared that the Times has what amounts to treasonous intentions, now keep in mind the Wall Street Journal's editorial page is totally separate from the Wall Street Journal's news division. The Wall Street Journal's editorial page, for example, used to be run by this criminal named John Fund, who sexually assaulted not only his girlfriend, but his girlfriend's daughter. The editorial page of the Wall Street Journal is a nest of vipers, an absolute nest of vipers. But anyway, Krugman writes, after an editorial in the Wall Street Journal declared that the Times has what amounts to treasonous intentions, the Journal's own political editor pronounced himself shocked at what the editorial page had written, saying that, quote, I don't know anybody on the news staff of the Wall Street Journal that believes that. The Wall Street Journal editorial page says that the Times has a major goal, not winning the war on terror, but obstructing it. Can you believe that? The biggest threat to America right now, apparently, is, the New York Times or the press? There's more here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker, like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider, like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have GEICO motorcycle insurance. Because GEICO covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. GEICO Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
A good news story from ElieveGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed a difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com.
Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
mention yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
We are together. 21 past the hour. Anyway, going back to Krugman's column today, he's talking about the right-wing attack on the New York Times and the fact that the Wall Street Journal editorial page declared that the Times has what amounts to treasonous intentions. Huh? How about that? Krugman writes, anyone who is genuinely shocked by the journal's willingness to play the treason card must not have been paying attention these past 5 years. Yeah, really. He goes on, over the past few months, a series of revelations have confirmed what should have been obvious a long time ago. The Bush administration and the movement it leads have been engaged in an authoritarian project, an effort to remove all the checks and balances that have heretofore constrained the executive branch. I don't understand why Krugman doesn't just come up and use the F word. You know, it's fascism. That what we are seeing is one way for fascism to be born in an otherwise democratic society. Is this not how fascism usually manifests? Western-style fascism. It manifests in a either fully democratic or lightly democratic or sometimes a monarchy. But in a society, it certainly doesn't manifest. It doesn't come to pass in a society that is communist or socialist or left-leaning, does it? I don't know. Maybe it does. But I wish Krugman would go ahead. And again, he's a man I deeply respect. Oh, my God. Everything Paul Krugman has written, I agree with totally and completely. I've never read anything Krugman has written I don't agree with. But I just wish he would use the F word. He goes on to say, much of this project, the move towards fascism, involves the assertion of unprecedented executive authority, the right to imprison people indefinitely without charges, torture them if the administration feels like it, the right to wiretap American citizens without court authorization, the right to declare when signing laws passed by Congress that the laws don't really mean what they say. Paul, that's called fascism. He goes on, but an almost equally important aspect of the project, moving us to fascism, has been the attempt to create a political environment in which nobody dares to criticize the administration or reveal inconvenient facts about its actions. That's called fascism. And that attempt has relied from the beginning on ascribing treasonous motives to those who refuse to toe the line. As far back as 2002, Rush Limbaugh, in words very close to those used by the Wall Street Journal last week, accused Tom Daschle, then the Senate Majority Leader, of a partisan, quote, attempt to sabotage the war on terrorism, end quote. Paul, that's called fascism. He goes on, those of us who tried to call attention to this authoritarian project, fascism, years ago, have long marveled over the reluctance of many of our colleagues to acknowledge what was going on. For example, for a long time, many people in the mainstream media applied a peculiar double standard to political speech, denouncing perfectly normal, if forceful, political rhetoric from the left as poisonous Bush hatred, while chuckling indulgently over venom from the right. Ah, that Ann Coulter, she's such a kidder. Paul? That's fascism. He goes on. But now the chuckling has stopped. Somehow nobody seems to find calls to send Bill Keller, that's the editor of the Times, to the gas chamber funny. And while the White House clearly believes that attacking the Times is a winning political move, it doesn't have to turn out that way, not if enough people realize what's at stake. He says, for I think that most Americans still believe in the principle that the president isn't a king, that he isn't entitled to operate without checks and balances. No, he doesn't want to be a king. He wants to be a dictator, Paul. It's called fascism, not monarchy. And President Bush is especially unworthy of our trust because on every front, he has consistently played politics with national security, and he has done so with the approval and encouragement of the same people now attacking the New York Times for its alleged lack of patriotism. And then Krugman closes by saying, Mr. Bush's ability to wrap his power grab in the flag has diminished now that most Americans no longer consider him either competent or honest, but the administration and its supporters still believe that they can win political battles by impugning the patriotism of those who won't go along For the sake of the country, let's hope that they're wrong. Well, I agree with you, Paul. For the sake of the country, let's indeed hope that they're wrong. And I never would put Krugman in that classification of so-called journalists or media figures who have failed miserably. If anyone has been out there banging on the pots and pans and blowing the horn, it's been Paul Krugman over and over and over and over again. But the rest of media, compare and contrast Paul Krugman with, oh, I don't know, pick a name. Oh, here's one, Nora O'Donnell. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
He's ready to lead us, and much more than 10 cents a glance. But who's really paying the tune while we watch Georgie France? Think of Thomas Jefferson, it makes me want to cry. To think that the chair he sat in, someone could buy. Just fake like a money belt, but I'll pray to Mad Time instead. Please come back, Tom, and save us from King George again.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and you need to get Greg Palast's new book, Armed Madhouse. The Baltimore Chronicle says no one's investigated the Bush Clan like Palast and lived to write about it. So pick up Armed Madhouse from Greg Palast, America's top investigative reporter and the funniest, with killer dispatches like Who's Afraid of Osama Wolf, The Scheme to Steal 2008, and No Child's Behind the Left. Armed Madhouse, also available as an audiobook with guest readers like me. Armed Madhouse. Get it at gregpalast.com or your local bookstore.
I'm a woman. I like things like movies with dialogue and sweater sets. I like hot cocoa on a rainy day. I like the word cocoa. But most of all, I like my big fat hog. Which is why I have Geico motorcycle insurance. Geico covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. Geico. That's nice.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
dictatorship seem orderly? When one man makes all the decisions, there is no need for negotiation or compromise.
He said breathlessly. All right. Chuckle Nuts at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago today, where he gave a lecture on vectors and azimuths. No, just kidding. I don't know why I was there. He did something, and then there were questions. Before the questions about the North Korean missile launches, there was a question about one of the Supreme Court decisions that came down while we were on vacation. That decision limited Bush's unacceptable usurpation of power to hold people at Guantanamo indefinitely. Although, so far, the Bush crime family has utterly refused to acknowledge that decision. I think the decision had to do with the illegality of holding people without... Or was it... I'm a little confused here. Maybe it was... But the military tribunals were not, I don't know. Anyway, what? And don't email me. It really doesn't matter. Nothing that comes down from the Supreme Court that is counter to the Bush-Cheney crime family's activities is relevant. It just isn't. Any more than anything the Congress does is relevant. Everything the Congress does, Bush signs, and then just, that's why he doesn't veto anything. He just puts a signing statement with everything. 700 times since he's been president, a signing statement that essentially says, this is bat crap. I'll sign it, but I don't have to abide by it. So anyway, the reporter said, I'd like to ask you to speak on the broad implications of that recent Supreme Court case, not the specifics of the case, but the fact that the justices said that you overreached your authority, Mr. Bush, and your critics have been saying that too. Given your support and respect for the court, are you willing to rethink how you use your presidential authority?
The Supreme Court said that in this particular case, when it comes to dealing with illegal combatants who were picked up off a battlefield and put in Guantanamo for the sake of our security, that we should work with the United States Congress to develop a way forward. And it didn't say we couldn't have made that decision. See? They were silent on whether or not Guantanamo... whether or not we should have used Guantanamo. In other words, they accepted the use of Guantanamo. And so, in working with the Supreme, listening to the Supreme Court, we'll work with Congress to achieve that objective. And so, you know, your questions are slightly loaded, which is okay. I'm used to it.
Used to being loaded? Okay. What did he says the Supreme Court said that in this particular case, when it comes to dealing with illegal combatants who were picked up off the battlefield... How many times do the American people have to be reminded that these are not enemy combatants picked up off a battlefield? These are farmers, taxi drivers, people who were picked up by the warlords and sold to the Americans as Taliban or I don't know, just as contraband in order to get some money. Bush calls them illegal combatants. And he says, in working with the Supreme, and then he caught himself and said, in listening to the Supreme Court, careful, King George, you don't work with Supreme Court decisions. You can't add a signing statement, one of your signing statements to a Supreme Court decision. Really, you can't do that, George. Not that that really matters. This Supreme Court... another hiccup, another heart attack, another bout with cancer, and the Supreme Court, the next Supreme Court appointment, which the Democrats will just facilitate and allow to occur, will make this court about as fascist as it could be, and as irrelevant as it could be to the Bush crime family. So, not to worry, George, not to worry. Now the reporters turn to the issue of North Korea, beginning with this question about Japan's humanitarian decision to stop punishing the poor, starving people of North Korea with sanctions. The reporter says, Mr. Bush, Japan has dropped the threat of sanctions from its proposed Security Council resolution about North Korea. Why was that necessary? And how do you punish or penalize a country that's already among the poorest and most isolated in the world. Now, what the reporter means here, why was that necessary, the threat of sanctions? And the reporter says, how do you punish a country that's already among the poorest and most isolated in the world?
There's a choice for him to make.
Oh, Christ.
He can verifiably get rid of his weapons programs and stop testing rockets. And there's a way forward for him to help his people. I believe it's best to make that choice clear to him with more than one voice. And that's why we had the six-party talks. And now that he has defied China and Japan and South Korea and Russia and the United States, all of us said, don't fire that rocket. He not only fired one, he fired seven. Now he made that defiance. It's best for all of us to go to the UN Security Council and say loud and clear, here are some red lines.
Here are some red lines. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. I'll tell you what, George, why don't you do this? The little toy rocket program that this crazed doppelganger of yours in North Korea has set off, why not ignore him? Why not notify Vlad Putin, who still has, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 10,000 nuclear warheads targeted on American cities? Oh, I know we've been told that that's not the case anymore, but we lie to them just like they lie to us. We still have American missiles targeted on Russian cities, so, and Chinese cities too, by the way. So why don't you, George, in your infinite wisdom, Your Honor, why don't you notify Vlad that you had enough of American cities being targeted, like Chicago, where you were today? Why don't you do that, you half-witted coward moron? No, I guess not. Now, seems like Bush hasn't quite finished calculating the azimuth and verifying the vectors on these launches the other day, because he still has no information about the missile launches. But he may think they have something to do with golf. Now, you know, this next one really kind of pisses me off, frankly, because if the North Korean missile testing is a threat to the United States, and I do not believe it is, and not in the least, not in the tiniest. But if it were, then I think that George Bush ought to, or any president of the United States, ought to take a little bit more seriously than referring to it in a golfing term. But here, listen, you decide. Oh, wait, stop it, because I didn't ask the question, my bad. The question was, it's been 3 days since North Korea fired those missiles. Yesterday you said you did not know the trajectory on the long-range missile. Can you now tell us where it was headed? And if it had been headed toward the United States, how would our national ballistic missile system have taken it down?
I still can't give you any better answer than yesterday. I can embellish yesterday's answer. It may sound better. I haven't talked to Secretary of Defense about that. Our missile systems are modest. Our anti-ballistic missile systems are modest. They're new. It's a new research. We're testing them. It's hard for me to give you a probability of success. But nevertheless, the fact that a non-transparent society would be willing to tee up a rocket and fire it without identifying where it's going or what was on it means we need a ballistic missile system. So that's about all I'm telling you on that.
What you mean, Chuckle Nuts, is an anti-ballistic missile system. I know, I understand. Tee up a rocket. But nevertheless, the fact that a non-transparent society would be willing to tee up a rocket and fire it without identifying where it's going, blah, 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 blah. Don't we do that with mind-bending regularity, Chuckle Nuts? We do it. The Russians do it. Chinese do it. The Brits do it. The French do it. Ah, but this crazed doppelganger of yours over in North Korea does it, and you come apart at the seams, don't you? Huh? Now, this last one is one that really infuriates me, and I'm going to wait until after this break, because This is the one where he once again, the lies this sick freak tells over and over again are so embedded in his own mind that he must still believe him, the lies. In this next soundbite, you're going to hear him talk about how the Bush crime family prevailed upon the United Nations, 16 or 17 times, to demand that Saddam end their weapons programs, or weapons of mass destruction. And the entire world knows now that every time the Iraqis say we don't have one, how in the hell can we comply with something we don't have it? And the whole world knows this. You know this, truth seeker. I don't care what your political affiliation is. You know it. Except some of you Hannity freaks. I mean, some of you still think that they were moved into Syria. But the entire world knows there were no weapons. There was nothing for Saddam to reveal. The entire world knows that the UN weapons inspectors were not ordered out by Saddam. They got out because it was apparent Bush was going to violate international law and invade a helpless country. But when we come back, I want you to hear what this sick freak said today.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
"Let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it."
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
All right, we're still with Chuckle Nuts at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago today. Now, the question is this. Mr. President, a lot of people here in Chicago tell us that they see an incongruity in your foreign policy. We're involved in a shooting war in Iraq, yet we have a leader in North Korea who has announced his affection for nuclear weapons and no hesitation to use them against the United States. Is your policy consistent between the way you have dealt with Iraq and the way you have dealt with North Korea? Now, listen to the lies and distortions here. It's incredible.
I have always said that it's important for an American president to exhaust all diplomatic avenues before the use of force.
Jesus.
All diplomatic options were exhausted as far as I was concerned with Saddam Hussein. You remember that the UN Security Council resolution that we passed when I was the president was one of 16, I think. 16, 17? Give me a hand there. More than 15. Resolution after resolution after resolution saying the same thing. And he ignored them. And we tried diplomacy. And so the choice was Saddam Hussein's choice. He could have, not fooled the inspectors. He could have welcomed the world in. He could have told us what was going on, but he didn't.
What?
And so we moved. And we're in the diplomatic process now with North Korea. That's what you're seeing happening. These problems don't arise in a nanosecond.
Huh.
It takes a while for a problem to fester and grow, and then it takes a while to solve them diplomatically. It's just the nature of diplomacy.
Oh, you halfwit. You lying cretin. You lying cretin. He could have welcomed the world in, Saddam. He could have told us what was going on, but he didn't. Does nobody ever sit this moron down and say to him, George, there were no weapons? When Saddam and his toy administration kept saying we don't have any of this stuff, they really didn't. Oh, Christ, I get so tired of this. And the last one from today's Dog and Pony Show. You got to hear Bush here get all snippy with one of the friendlies at CNN, Suzanne Malvo, who is up to this questioning, has been another one of the apologists that Paul Krugman wrote about today for the Bush crime family. No matter what egregious act the Bush crime family has committed, Suzanne Malvo could always be counted on to stand there as a CNN White House reporter and grease the way for the lies to shoot through the television into our pickled minds. But listen to this back and forth. Bush's broken record on his solve things diplomatically mantra. It's frightening.
If I could follow up, you say diplomacy takes time.
Yes, it does.
But it was 4 years ago that you labeled North Korea a member of the Axis of Evil. And since then, it's increased its nuclear arsenal, it's abandoned six-party talks, and now these missile
launches.
Let
me ask you a question. It's increased, that's an interesting statement. North Korea has increased its nuclear arsenal. Can you verify that?
Well, intelligence sources say, if you'd like to dispute that,
no, I'm not going to dispute. I'm just curious.
Our intelligence sources say that it's increased the number of its nuclear capabilities.
Put it this way, the guy's dangerous. Got potential danger.
It's increased its nuclear capabilities. It's abandoned six-party talks and it's launched these missiles.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't Americans see the U.S. policy regarding North Korea as a failed one?
Because it takes time to get things done.
What objectives has the U.S. government achieved when it comes to North Korea, and why does the administration continue to go back to the same platform process if it's not effective in changing North Korea's behavior?
Suzanne, these problems didn't arise overnight, and they don't get solved overnight. It takes a while.
Quack, quack, quack.
Again, I think if you look at the history of the North Korean weapon program, it started probably in the 80s. We don't know. Maybe you know more than I do about increasing the number of nuclear weapons. But She asked what we've done. We got the six-party talks started. And that's a positive development. It's a way to solve this problem diplomatically.
Isn't that astonishing? Isn't that just astonishing, the snottiness of this little tin-horn dictator? Oh, North Korea is increasing nuclear arsenals. That's what you said, Suzanne? Where do you get that, Suzanne? Can you verify that, Suzanne? Jesus, God. And he says, we don't know. Maybe you know more than I do, Suzanne. We don't know about his weapon programs. How can you not know, you incompetent freak? You claim to know all about Saddam's weapons programs, the ones that were in mobile trucks, the ones hidden in palm tree groves, the ones in the basement of his palace, the ones under his hat, the ones in his toilet. And you don't know anything about North Korea's. North Korea has developed a nuclear weapons program, you half-witted freak. It can be seen by looking at any image, any flyover, any spy satellite picture. There it is. And you say you don't know anything about it. Well, how are we supposed to know? You know, it's a non-transparent society. The guy's dangerous. How are we supposed to know anything about it? Diplomacy, diplomacy, diplomacy. That's my story. Diplomacy, diplomacy. Now, can I get a drink here? Suzanne Malveaux, you got a funny name. Is that French? I think that's French. Coming up after the break, Bush and Pickles getting dual Monicas by Larry King. And then your phone calls. Stay where you are, please. Don't move. You are being watched. We'll be back after the break. This is Air America.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's
Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. California Democratic candidate for Governor Phil Angelides says, as governor, he would welcome the chance to sign a bill legalizing gay marriage. Angelides is trying to unseat the state's Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger in November. Angelides says he would sign a marriage equality bill because he believes that encouraging people to build a lasting relationship is a good thing. Last year, lawmakers made California's legislature the first in the nation to legalize gay marriage. Schwarzenegger, though, vetoed the bill, saying it was up to voters or the courts to settle the matter. The measure's sponsor, Democratic Assemblyman Mark Leno, plans to reintroduce it in December. A trial judge has ruled the current state law barring same-sex marriages is unconstitutional, the state appealing that decision. Japan today pushing a United Nations Security Council resolution to impose sanctions on North Korea. Japan introduced the draft today despite Chinese and Russian calls not to raise tensions with the North Koreans. The measure says no nation will take missiles or missile-related items, materials, goods, and technologies from North Korea. And it orders countries to take those steps necessary to keep the North from getting things it can use on its missile program. North Korea's launch this week of 7 missiles sparked Japan's drive for the resolution. The U.S., Britain, and France backed the measure, but North Korea's allies, China and Russia, haven't said if they'd go along with it. A top security official says Israel knows how to do prisoner releases. The Minister of Public Security says his country may release Palestinians as called for under an Egyptian proposal to free an abducted Israeli soldier. The minister says once the soldier is freed and militants stop rocket attacks from Gaza, his country would need to make a, quote, return gesture by freeing prisoners. Lebanese officials say a suspect in a bomb plot in New York has confessed to following Osama bin Laden's orders to attack this year, but the suspect's family in Lebanon denies an al-Qaeda link. His mother says the man teaches economics at a local university. Relatives of the 52 commuters killed in the London bombings 1 year ago remembered loved ones at a private ceremony in Regent's Park. Members of the crowd were crying as the name of each victim was read. People placed flowers in a mosaic memorial. The ceremony capped a day of events to remember the bombings that hit 3 subways and a bus in London a year ago today. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Or if you're just joining us, welcome to the program. I always assume that people just hang around. You know, you never know. Now, a couple of points. As far as not knowing what North Korea has been doing, that's astonishing. If that's true, then our entire intelligence system is truly as broken as the Bush crime family made it appear to be where it concerned Iraq. Our intelligence system was not broken. Where it concerned Iraq, everything that our CIA and our NSA and our spies and yada, yada, yada said about Iraq was true. There's no there there. They are a defeated, broken country. But if what Bush is saying about Iraq, North Korea is true, that we don't know. Of course, it's not true. Bush is just a lying little freak who has no entree into what's really going on. He's the puppet they send out there to dance around and talk about azimuths or whatever. In the Clinton years, we had an agreement with North Korea. The Republican Congress tried its damnedest to sabotage that agreement and eventually was able to once Bush was appointed president. But during the Clinton years, there was an effort made and an agreement reached. And the agreement was simply, we provide you with this and you do that. Now, as soon as the Bush thugs took over, they said, well, look, the North Koreans were lying. Lying? Maybe hedging their bets, realizing what had happened with the appointment of George W. Bush. Now, as far as dictating to the North Koreans, as weird as they are, I think their leader is weird, Kim Jong the Second, as Bush calls him, or called him one time. Of course he's weird. He's a megalomaniac little freak who should be dragged through the streets by his own people and turned into hamburger. Certainly, just like the Italians did to Mussolini and his girlfriend. Absolutely. Go for it. Do it. Of course, they can't. North Korea has, what, the fifth largest standing army on the planet or something of that sort? But regarding their missiles and our telling this country that such a thing won't happen, when other countries, oh, pick one, Russia we talked about, the UK, the United States, how about Israel? Israel, in May of this year, tested a system designed to enhance the system that we more or less gave them, the Multiple Launch Rocket System, MLRS. And as reported by the Middle East Newsline a couple of months ago, it says the Israel Army has overseen the test of the trajectory correction system. Industry sources said 12 artillery rockets that contained TSC, the trajectory correction system, were fired recently in southern Israel. TSC was developed by the state-owned Israel Military Industries and Elisra Electronic System. The tests for the Field Artillery Corps were said to have been successful and struck targets from an unspecified long range. IMI, that was the Israel Military Industries, said, quote, this firing test concludes years of intensive development of an innovative system and represents a significant milestone of the transition to serial production and army equipping, yada, 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 yada. Now, does Israel have a right to do this? Well, certainly. Israel's a sovereign nation. They have a right to do it. Anything they want to do. If the rest of the world says, oh, wait, you've overstepped your bounds, then I assume they will send emails and make telephone calls to the Israeli government and say, hey, you've overstepped your bounds, at which point the Israeli government can raise his middle finger and say, go away, just like George Bush. When the rest of the world says to George Bush, you've overstepped your bounds, you violated the law, George Bush can sit back on his ass and raise his middle finger and say, go away. So can Kim Jong crazy. He can do the same thing. So in my opinion, what's going on here is very simply a Bush, not Bush, but the crime family that runs this little freak is trying to set up a situation where the American people will say, yeah, it's time to turn North Korea into a glass. Let's go. Let's get them. We should have got them 50 years ago. Let's get them. North Korea is a threat. Now, as far as that last piece of sound that we played for you with poor Suzanne Malvo getting her her bra snapped by George W. Bush with her impertinent question. You know, Suzanne is the White House correspondent for CNN. She has the audacity to question His Honor. And even Suzanne kind of flubbed it at the last minute by referring to the administration rather than saying you. But if you ever needed any proof of the lies of George W. Bush where it concerns the war in Iraq, what more do you need? He states categorically that U.S. intelligence was unable to determine that the North Koreans were getting ready to launch missiles, short-range Scuds, for Christ's sake, Scuds. Woo! Can Scuds do damage? Yes, of course they can. Can they reach Hawaii? No! Unless somebody carries them in a backpack. As far as the long-range missile is concerned, the one that went, what, a couple hundred feet, miles? I don't know how far it went. But I'm certainly not concerned about North Koreans. Are you? Maybe we should be. But for Bush to say we had no idea, we couldn't tell, and back in 1962, we had equipment sophisticated enough to notice the building of launch pads in Cuba, to be able to tell almost down to the nuts and bolts what those missiles were going to carry. And Bush says, we don't know what's on those missiles. What is it, whipped cream and sprinkles? What the hell do you think is on a missile? Usually it's a warhead, you freak. But we could do this in 1962. How long ago was that? 41 years ago? 42 years ago? So, if you want to believe the Bush crime family, you've got to believe, first of all, you have to leave your brain in the gutter. But if you decide to do that, you have to believe that they told the truth about Iraq. And, of course, there was no there. And they're lying about North Korea. North Korea, the whole damn world knew what North Korea was doing. And Bush stands out there and said, "Well, we don't know. We know it's a non-transparent society." He teed up some missiles. We didn't know what teed up. We didn't know when you tee up a missile. We just figure you're gonna play the back nine or something. He teed up a missile. So what am I supposed to do? I was watching the launch of the space shuttle with Pickles. He teed up a missile. Yeah, he did. Well, we'll get him. We didn't know anything about it. How are we supposed know? Do you know something, Suzanne? And Malvo says, since North Korea has increased its nuclear arsenal, and Bush says, it's increased? That's an interesting statement. North Korea has increased its nuclear arsenal. Can you verify that? He asks a reporter for CNN, can you verify that? Poor Suzanne Malvo. And her answer, well, intelligence sources say, if you'd like to dispute that, that's fine. No, no, says Mr. Bush. I'm not going to dispute. I'm just curious. And Suzanne says, well, our intelligence sources say that it's increased the number, its nuclear capability. And Bush says, let's put it this way. This guy's dangerous. It has potential danger. It has potential danger. Well, I wonder if Miss Malvo will now realize who she has been greasing the way for, greasing the way from her little stand-ups on the White House lawn to the CNN studios, into your television set, into your brain. I just wonder if Suzanne Malvo will now realize that she has been working for the devil. Do you think so? Nah, she's got her career to think about.
Oh, something up. when all else fails, let's hold something up. When all else fails, let's hold something up.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello, my name's Smokey, and I'm a hardcore biker. I'm here to tell you that Geico... Hold on a sec. Is this the right music, bro? Really? Anyway, Geico covers most kinds of bikes, so you can get money-saving discounts whether you're a casual weekend rider or a hardcore biker like me. See, man, I'm not sure. This music don't make a lick of sense.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
A good news story from ElieveGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed the difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at ElieveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
Bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. All right, I want to finish up here with sound from Chucklenuts. This is from Larry King. Alexander Stanley, writing at New York Times, the TV Watch, today, said there are two kinds of celebrities that go on Larry King Live. Those with something to sell and those with something to hide. She cited Al Gore and Brandon Routh, the young star of the newly released Superman Returns. They were both on King to promote their new movies. And the second category includes people like Star Jones Reynolds and Mary Kay Letourneau. And right after his indictment in 2004, Ken Lay. According to Ms. Stanley, Larry King Live is the first stop in any damage control operation, a chance to explain oneself to the least contentious journalist in the land. It's about the only place I disagree with Alessandra. He is not a journalist. He's an entertainer, a talk show, a TV interviewer, whatever. Anyway, she writes, and that is why President Bush invited the CNN talk show host, Larry King, to the White House on his 60th birthday. The standoff with North Korea over its missile tests, the war in Iraq, and ever-sliding ratings in the polls had given the president little reason to celebrate. Larry King gave the president a chance to defend his policies without risk of interruption or follow-up. At times, Mr. King even provided the president with answers. Quote, "You've always had a lot of compassion for the Mexican people." End quote. The interviewer interjected in a discussion of the president's immigration bill. Mr. Bush seemed a little surprised but grateful. "Yes, sir," he replied. Now, the interview was taped Thursday in the Blue Room at the White House, and even when he ventured into areas like the war in Iraq, public opinion polls, or Bush's past friendship with Ken Lay, Larry King looked less like an interrogator and more like a hotel concierge gently removing lint from a customer's coat. That's great, Alexandra. And then she says, Bush appeared on King's show twice before in 2000 and 2004, but those were campaign interviews. On Thursday, the president was fighting to improve his battered image. All right, well, we've got just a couple of sound bites here for your entertainment. So here's Chucklenuts and Pickles, interviewed on Larry King last night, actually during the day, but they played it last night. Larry's nose, of course, was firmly inserted in Bush's backside all night. It was awful to watch, but not surprising. But the real question is, what is it with Bush and golf analogies? Does he think Tiger Woods is working with Kim Jong II? Larry King says, "Were you surprised by the missiles?"
Were you surprised by the missiles?
I wasn't sure what to expect. Obviously, we knew the missiles teed up.
Teed up.
We rallied our partners in the six-party talks to make clear statements about not firing a missile. Sure enough, a couple of days ago, he not only fires one, he fires seven.
Why do you think he did?
You know, I don't know. I really don't know. I think he wants us to either fear him or pay attention to him. I view it as an opportunity
to
get the Chinese and the South Koreans and the Japanese and the Russians and to work with us and to send a clear message that this is unacceptable behavior.
Unacceptable behavior. No, unacceptable behavior, George, is when you're sitting in church with your grandmother and you break wind. That's unacceptable behavior, you freak. This is a leader, a dictator, like you'd like to be, of a battered country where the people eat bark and stones, and have sex with fence posts. Never mind. Now, it's too bad Saddam didn't fire his missiles instead of destroying them as the UN requested after Gulf War I, right? If he'd held on to a few and shot them off, maybe then Chucklenuts would have tried more diplomacy with Iraq, like he's doing in North Korea. Guess that's the secret to not getting attacked by the U.S. Now, Bush, if you listen here, Larry King gives Bush a moniker with this one.
You're into taking the lead on things. Iraq was an example.
Right.
You took the lead on Iraq. The United Nations went along. You got
right.
Other countries to go along. Why not take the lead here?
We have. The reason why there's a six-party talks is because we took the lead.
Yeah.
And I've looked long and hard at this issue, and I'm confident the best way to solve the problem is to have the Chinese and South Koreans and the Japanese and Russians sitting side by side with us, saying to Kim Jong-il, it's not in your interest to isolate yourself from the world.
I could just see that happening. When Larry King said, you're taking the lead on things, Larry, Bush has never taken the lead on anything, you suck up. Larry says, Iraq was an example. You took the lead on Iraq. The United Nations went along. Oh, my God. It's astonishing, right? Now, Clinton got impeached because, you know, he and Monica got into some oral sex and he lied about it. But Larry King can do oral sex with George Bush on primetime television and nothing happens? Wow. We have one more when we come back, and then we're going to take some phone calls, so stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
I'm a sensitive cowboy, and I don't know what to do. Oh, no, it's kind of strange. I'm the last sensitive cowboy. Oh, no, no, it's true. I'm a sensitive cowboy, and I don't know what to do. Oh, no, it's kind of strange.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now, and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Plus, a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
Hello, my name's Smokey, and I'm a hardcore biker. I'm here to tell you that Geico... Hold on a sec. Is this the right music, bro? Really? Anyway, Geico covers most kinds of bikes, so you can get money-saving discounts whether you're a casual weekend rider or a hardcore biker like me. See, man, I'm not sure. This music don't make a lick of sense.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
26 before the hour. All right, finally, this one, the last one here from Larry King's Larry King's program the other night. Chuckle Nuts and Pickles together. This time Pickles gets something in here. Talk about Stand By Your Man. King asked Bush, then Pickles, about their doubts about Iraq.
Do you ever, concerning Iraq, do you ever have doubts about it?
The decision to remove Saddam Hussein was the right decision, and I'm absolutely convinced it was. Where I get down is when I realize that some grieving mom or wife or dad or, you know, has lost a loved one, and that's the agony of war. And I met with enough families to know how it's broken their heart to lose a loved one, but I made the right decision, and we will succeed in Iraq unless we decide to quit.
Do you ever have doubts?
Well, I feel exactly like George does. I think it's really the right thing to do.
Yeah, we had to cut her off because then she said something obscene. No shock from Mrs. Stepford there. It passed the halcyon. I think she almost came conscious a second ago. Her left eyebrow moved. Never know. Just the blatant arrogance of this guy. Where I get down is when I, you know, that some grieving mom or wife or dad has lost their loved one, and that's the agony of war. See, that evokes in me words that I dare not say on this radio program, or even in public generally speaking. Suffice it to say that when I hear Bush say something like that and think about the genesis of this war and the purpose of this war and the death and destruction and agony and maiming and wounding of this war, and the shattering of so many lives in this country and Iraq because of this war, and the fact that Bush, well, and the fact that we are now an occupying army. We are occupying another country, which is an absolute contravention of the United Nations Charter. In much the same way that the IDF is occupying the occupied territories in Israel. Same thing. We are now an occupier. Much like the Soviet Union's army, the Russian army, was an occupier in how many countries subsequent to World War II? It's incredible. Just incredible. And when I think about it too much, once I get past the rage, I don't know. I'll start crying. I'll start crying those enraged tears. You know, where you're snotting and frothing and foaming and screaming. That's when Kathy has to say, "Here, Mike, would you like a drink?" Tears of rage. Do you know? Are you familiar with tears of rage? Sure you are. Now, I've got to share something with you, and this is kind of nasty, so if you don't want to hear this, it has to do with human waste, Bush's human waste. This comes from the Wayne Mazden report on July 4th. It's titled, "Classified Bush Feces Begs Health Question." And it says, even Bush's blank is classified top secret. According to our Austrian sources, Austrian newspapers are currently abuzz with special security details of George W. Bush's recent trip to Vienna. Although the heavy-handed Gestapo-like security measures meted out to Viennese homeowners, business proprietors, and pedestrians by U.S. Secret Service agents and local police before and during Bush's visit received widespread Austrian media attention, it was White House toilet security which has Austrians talking the most. The White House flew in a special portable toilet to Vienna for Bush's personal use during his visit. The Bush White House is so concerned about Bush's security The veil of secrecy extends over the president's bodily excretions. The special portageon captured Bush's feces and urine and flew the waste material back to the United States in the event that some enterprising foreign intelligence agency conducted a sewage pipe operation designed to trap and examine Bush's waste material. One can only wonder why the White House is taking such extraordinary security measures for the presidential poop. In the past, similar operations were conducted against foreign leaders to determine their medical condition. However, these intelligence operations were directed against dictators in countries where even the medical conditions of the top political leaders were considered, quote, state secrets, end quote. The Israeli Mossad conducted one such operation against Syrian President Hafez Assad when he visited Amman, Jordan, in February 1999 for the funeral of King Hussein. The Mossad and its Jordanian counterpart installed a special toilet in Assad's hotel room that led not to a pipe, but to a specimen canister. Assad suffered from diabetes and cancer, and the operation was designed to discover the actual medical condition of the ailing leader. During Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev's visit to Washington in 1987, the CIA reportedly placed a special trap under a sewage tank to collect the Soviet leader's bodily waste for analysis. More recently, the CIA was reported to have collected waste samples from Ugandan President dictator Yoweri Museveni's toilet when he visited Washington. Even Bush's toilet paper was flown in from the U.S. Air Base at Ramstein, Germany. In addition, Bush's food was flown in from the United States and tested with special chemicals before he ate it. Romanian dictator Nicolae Ceausescu, who was shot by a firing squad in 1989, was the last major European leader to constantly use a food tester. The last frequent state visitor to Vienna, who always relied on a food tester, was Adolf Hitler. Good God. I don't know. Kathy, it's kind of like living in some cannibalistic Disney world or some insane 1984-ish dreamscape where things are so insanely funny. I mean, all of this stuff. Bush saying that he has no idea, nor does the U.S. intelligence community have any idea what's going on in North Korea. But we had all the details down to, whether Saddam Hussein had a quarter in his pocket, if it was heads or tails. We could tell that, right? Isn't that what Bush said? We know where all the weapons are. Isn't that what Cheney said and Rice and Rumsfeld and all these people? And it turned out to be all lies? And now when the truth is probably needed, I mean, here is a nutcase testing rockets that I seriously don't think are a threat. I've said, Kim Jong crazy may be crazy. But even crazy people understand, crazy people like this. I'm not referring, please, I'm not dumping on the mentally challenged community. Come on, don't send me any emails, all right? Psychopaths like this guy, like George Bush. Pick a national leader who's a psychopath, and God knows there have been so many, huh? But we have our own now. Even a psychopath like Kim Jong Crazy or George Bush, they understand where, as Bush puts it, the red lines are. They know what they can't, how far they can go. Bush knows he can set up torture chambers around the world and have people tortured. He knows he can get away with that. He knows that the rendition is he can get away with that, sending people to be tortured in other countries. But he also knows what the limits are. Kim Jong Crazy knows what the limits are, too. He knows he can toss a few half-witted missiles into the nearest ocean. He knows he can do that and get away with it. But we are supposed to believe that our intelligence community doesn't understand that Kim Jong Crazy knows he can do that. And on and on and on. It's like, I don't know. I don't know. It's enough to make you crazy. In fact, Angela in California just sent me this. She said, Mike, boy, if Bush finds it challenging to answer these pre-scripted and pre-answered questions, the ones from the press conference today. What would happen if he ever had to face his long-ignored critics? Can you imagine a real press conference, biting, stinging questions that called him on the carpet for every egregious thing he's getting away with? It couldn't happen, his getting away with anything, if the press would just do its job. Some watchdog, they're more like stuffed animals. You know what I really wanted to mention, Angela writes, is the sickness effect Bush has on people. I'm amazed at how often I hear people saying how they can't stand listening to him talk, any of his high treason gang, because they literally become physically ill. What is that about, Angela writes? Why do we feel like this? I wish we could get a legitimate poll taken to see how many people really experienced this. Do you remember, Angela writes, any other president in your lifetime that had this sickening effect on people? I don't. There's something to this. I just wish I knew what it was. Angela in California.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now, and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
I hear the voices.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those nasty Tiananmen Square. It's coming.
Oh.
But this ain't exactly
10 before the hour.
Real.
All right, let's do some phone calls. The phone number here is 866-303-2270. As we normally do, let's start with the folks who've been holding on the longest. That would be Herb. Sergeant Herb is calling from Mississippi. Herb, welcome to the program. Thank you for your patience.
Hey, Mike, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing fine, sir.
I was going to call you the other night and wish you a happy birthday, but after you turn 39, you don't really care about it, do you?
No, you don't. You don't. You really don't, because 40 is looming on the horizon.
Yeah, and you'll be 40 soon, man.
I certainly will.
Hey, Mike, I wanted to mention something. I'm going to change from what I was going to talk about to something else. You're talking about Malvo.
Uh-huh.
Now, that is interesting because, as you know, I've been trying to do an investigation into this Trent Lott fella.
Right, right.
And his press secretary, oh, he is a joke. I asked him why Lott voted for the pardoning of amnesty deal for the Iraqis killing Americans.
Right.
And he called me a freak and a bozo and, you know, whatever other names he could think of, and said that his men did not vote in that way. And, of course, I sent him the record, and he got mad at me, and now he won't even talk to me anymore.
Yeah, they can't stand the truth, Herb. You know that.
Yeah, and, I mean, even after exchanging a few emails with him, pretty soon I got to the point where I was going, I just wish this guy would shut up and quit talking to me because I'm sick of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of where Malvo was, but I'm surprised you didn't turn around and say, well, why don't you tell me I'm wrong? You know?
Yeah, and what happened then?
Well, you know, they just shut you off, and then you don't get any more stories from them. Like, I've been running this thing for comparing him and Eric Fleming on my website every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, man, the votes that this Lott character has cast that hurts the state of Mississippi.
He's a piece of work. Trent Lott is one of the worst things, one of the worst people that Mississippi could have representing them in the United States Senate.
Right, Mike, and we got such a wonderful man in this Eric Fleming character. He's in Atlanta. I wish I'd known in advance. I would have had you hooked up with him.
Hmm.
But I sent you his phone number. And if you didn't get it, let me know, and I'll send it back.
He's the one running against Trent Lott.
Right, and man, you go to my website and you look at the comparison of him and Lott, and you tell me there isn't a clear choice there, buddy.
Well, I'd forward that on to Kathy, and maybe we'll book him on. Now, say your website again.
Okay, powersandmorrison.com.
Powers and Morrison, and how's the and? Is it ampersand or is it spelled
out
A and D?
Spelled out A and D.
Powersandmorrison.com.
And we're going to be introducing a new writer shortly by the name of Victor E. Lopez.
Yeah, he wrote me. He sent me a letter and said, for those of you who don't know, Victor is our good friend who is in a Puerto Rican prison right now. He's an American citizen. He's there for, well, go to my website, MichaelLoy.com, and you'll see it up there, and you can write to him. But he's going to be writing for you.
I am so tickled about him doing that because he wrote one person. They sent me a notice, and he said this was the happiest he had ever been in his life, and that just made me cry, man.
I know. This young man is serving his time for what we would call white-collar crime. He's not bitching about the fact that he broke the law. He seems to me he's serving some awful hard time for what he did.
He is.
But he seems very articulate. He's written maybe 30 or 40 letters to me, and every time he writes one, I think, my God, he doesn't write, and I'm stereotyping here, but he doesn't write like somebody who is in prison, who's a criminal.
He's a real smart young man. In fact, he wrote for a school newspaper at one time. That's what got my interest. And I said, hey, you know, we ought to get this guy, Nathan. Hey,
well,
Mike, I'm going to let you go. I tie you up all too much. But
well, that's all right. Thanks, Herb. And I'm glad you're going to have Victor writing for you. I'll look forward to that.
Please, Mike, if you can, get my buddy Eric on, because I think you'll really love him. He supports Murtha's plan for getting out of Iraq. He said no more this preemptive strikes, you know. I think you'll really enjoy them.
All right. We'll definitely try to do it. Thanks, Herb.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. You take care. Sergeant Herb, go to his website, powersandmorrison.com. Go to his website. And especially, once our friend Victor Lopez starts writing for that web, that's good. I'm so glad that Herb and whoever else involved in that website has asked this young man to write for him. Victor is in his early 20s. He got involved in some bad checks or credit card scamming or check kiting or whatever, and he got caught. And he's been sentenced to a pretty long prison time. He was in Miami Detention Center for a while, and that's where he used to listen to Air America all the time. As he used to write to me a year or two ago and just talk about how so many of the prisoners would gather around their radios and listen to Air America, listen to Randy, listen to Sam and Janine, listen to my program. And when we would make points or comments or our craziness that they agreed with, the whole block would just erupt in applause. And, you know, they would holler out things like, "You go, Randy, kick her ass, kick his ass." You know, same thing about Malloy. And
yeah, the prisoners love us. So did the pornographers, I think. Larry King. No, not Larry King. I'm sorry. Larry Flint.
Larry Flint.
The other pornographer. The other kind of pornography.
We've got
a fan.
Yeah, we got a great audience. But anyway, if you go to MikeMalloy.com, up there, there's a thing about Victor Lopez and his address. If you want to write to him, he's going to be in jail for a while. And he got transferred from Miami Detention Center to a prison in Puerto Rico because of some of his scamming he committed in the islands, in the American islands, Caribbean, and so he wound up there. All right, stick around. Nothing but your phone calls when we come back. All right, this is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
On Air America Radio.
No doubt about it, the internet is a great place to hang out. Like blogging, for example. I love to blog. Maybe too much, when I think of all the hours I blogged. Anyway, you've probably spent a lot of time on the internet, too. Isn't it time the internet paid you back? Just 15 minutes at GEICO.com could save you hundreds on car insurance. Now that's what I call payback.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
A good news story from AliveGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed a difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com.
Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser.
Federal investigators say they worked with intelligence agencies in six other countries to uncover and then disrupt an alleged foreign plot to bomb commuter train tunnels in New York City. The FBI confirms that alleged plotters, all with allegiance to Al-Qaeda, have been arrested in Lebanon and other countries, but several have yet to be taken into custody. Agents would only say the plot targeted certain tunnels connecting Lower Manhattan with New Jersey and would have involved martyrdom and explosives. The plot involved at least eight suspects from three continents, though none had reportedly ever been to the U.S. The U.S. is supporting a delay until next week of a U.N. Security Council vote on proposed sanctions against North Korea. Japan is pushing for quick action against the regime that fired several missiles in the past week, many that fell into the Sea of Japan. The proposal would ban all financial, technical, and material sales to North Korea that could help its weapons programs. But China is against sanctions, fearing they could lead to the collapse of the North Korean government and a flood of refugees across its border. A labor dispute with union firefighters will not be one additional headache for the city of New Orleans. Mayor Ray Nagin has reached an agreement on a 5-year contract with the union firefighters. Even though the city is struggling to provide most city services and doesn't have the tax revenue to fund pay hikes, the union says it will show its appreciation for Nagin's approval by joining the lobbying of state and congressional lawmakers to secure more funding for New Orleans city government. The Los Angeles City Council honored a 79-year-old Boyle Heights resident Friday for heroism during the summer of 1944. Steve Gonzalez has that story.
Guy Galvadan was just 17 when his Marine Corps unit was asked to take the island of Saipan during World War II, which they did at a cost of many young lives. Still, being taken prisoner is what he remembers most.
I was also taken prisoner by one Japanese. She's sitting right over there, my wife. But she was well-armed and I surrendered. Being married to a Japanese for the last 42 years, I now know Japan's secret weapon, my mother-in-law.
He's due to receive the Congressional Medal of Honor. In Van Nuys, I'm Steve Gonzalez.
You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. It's just about 7 past the hour. Let's go immediately back to phone calls here, starting with Michael in New York City. Michael, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, Michael. How you doing, guy?
Doing fine.
Okay. You know, if you think that you were so upset, excuse me, at Bush's statements earlier, then, you know, hold on to your seat for a minute, because the thing is that I'm sure you heard that here in New York City, we had not one, but two supposed terrorist threats. One for one of the tunnels here in New York City, Holland Tunnel, and then there was a threat today regarding the New York City subway system, both of which supposedly from the same source via an internet chat room. Now, I don't know about you and my fellow truth seekers, but I find this a big, big hoax as the previous terror threats. And then all.
Well, it's. But this is a run up, Michael. This is a run up to the elections in November. And this is, once again, using the Joseph Goebbels philosophy of keep your population terrified of an external threat. And they are very easy to manipulate. And
exactly.
That's what this is about.
But then, in the icing of the cake, what the hell is this that I heard early in the week before these terror threats that the Bush administration closed some kind of bunker that was designed to hunt down Osama bin Laden? They were right back to the same question. Where is Osama bin Laden? As far as I'm concerned, if they close that down, isn't that the official ending of the war on terror?
Oh, who knows? It's all a hideous, macabre joke. What about the six or seven guys busted in Liberty City, Miami, part of a terror plot to blow up the buildings in Chicago? I mean, it's insane. It's insane.
Mike, you know exactly where I'm going now. I mean, you and I and our fellow truth seekers, we can sit down for hours and build up a whole list of critical questions that will push these Bush crime families and their fellow son of a bitches on trial.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. I appreciate your call. Boy, it seems weird to hear somebody say the SOB word when I'm making an effort to not. The Sears Tower, the so-called attack on the Sears Tower, where, you know, as far as I've been able to determine, just from my own take on this, you know, some I don't know, undercover the FBI or CIA or NSA or ABC or DEFGHI, JKL, whatever operative, got his hands on six or seven goofballs in Liberty City, which is one of the lowest income areas of Miami, and said, hey, let's get together and form an Al-Qaeda cell, and we'll blow up the Sears Tower. Anybody want to do that? Yeah, man, if you can get us some shoes first, you know, and some guns and stuff, you know, blow it up. Yeah, that'll be cool. Hey, can you get us some money and you know, maybe some... I don't know, some cool jackets and stuff, you know, like leather jackets. Can you do that? Yes, I can do that, because we are here to serve Allah. Yeah, man, whatever, Allah or you know, whatever. Let me tell you what size shoes I wear. And these poor freaks get busted, and all seven of them now are being held, what, without bail. Remember the Lackawanna Seven in upstate New York? Whatever happened to those guys, huh? Weren't they all set free? It was nothing? No there? Look, we're going to have a series of these. This is July. We got August, September, October before the elections, right? And the Bush crime family has got to demonstrate it's an absolute commitment to protecting the American people from the boogermans. The boogermans are all over the place. Got to stop these boogermans. They're going to blow up the Holland Tunnel. They're going to blow up the New York subway system. They're going to blow up the Sears Tower. They're going to blow up everything. They're going to blow them all up, blow them. Where's Max Headroom when you really need him? Need him. Where is he?
Well, apparently he's the new White House spokesmodel.
That's very true. Back to your phone calls. Bruce in California. Welcome to the program, Bruce. Appreciate you holding on.
Buenas noches, Miguel. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has.
I was thinking about Mr. Bin Laden hanging out there in the desert in the Tora Bora fiasco.
Yeah.
And it really occurred to me that it must have been intentional, because had Bush captured Bin Laden and Tora Bora, he would not have had the Emmanuel Goldstein to continue his efforts into Iraq.
Well, that's part of it, but I think he had the greatest threat since Adolf Hitler is what his dad called Saddam Hussein during Gulf War I. When Saddam started getting a little bit pissed off because the Kuwaitis were slant drilling and taking Saddam's oil, so he decided to invade. After clearing it with April Glaspie, who was the U.S. ambassador for George Herbert Walker Bush. So, I don't see any connection at all, frankly, between Afghanistan. Afghanistan was just a half-hearted effort to fool the
American... It was a springboard into Iraq, is what it was.
Right, but to fool the American people into thinking that this crime family that controls the U.S. really is interested in conducting something called a war on terrorism, which is impossible.
But I guess my point was this, that if they were using Afghanistan as a springboard into Iraq, which I believe was the main reason, is to get the armed forces mobilized, mm-hmm. get people into a war mode, and then they could transfer it. And at that moment in time, the American people were focused on not on Bin Laden. Bin Laden had been vilified. Bin Laden was the goal in the American people's mind. And had we accomplished that goal, the American people would have been satisfied that we were done, and he wouldn't have had the springboard effect to take us into Iraq.
Well, you're right. Yeah, you're absolutely. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Sure, sure. This is the what you're showing, of course, is the depth to which this Bush crime family lied.
Correct. They're just slime. Listen, if you ever need a California bureau chief, let me know.
Do we have Kathy, do we have a California bureau chief?
Southern California.
Okay, you can be the Southern California bureau chief.
All right, hey, sounds wonderful.
All right, well, send
I never miss a show, Mike.
Well, you got to send in the initiation fee.
Okay, what's that?
$6,000.
Oh, that's cool. My check's in the mail.
Thanks for checking in, Doug.
Thank you very much.
All right, not Doug, but Bruce. Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it. Doug is calling from L.A. Doug, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, actually, it's Doug Rastafari, but I didn't want to dump all that on your screener.
It's Doug where?
Doug Rastafari is my first name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my friends call me Doug. But anyway, so I was agreeing completely with you with the fascist statements as far as they are. They're drumming out the media. They're planning all these stupid terror alerts for us, which don't happen until election time. It's amazing that Al-Qaeda works right in line with our election system. And
yeah. Isn't that the synchronicity there is just astonishing, isn't it?
Well,
With
Al-Qaeda, but the synchronicity with all of our old newscasters disappearing. Look how much they've done. You know what I mean? It's like they planned every little piece of this, and they said, look, this is a great opportunity. We've got nothing but hacks and spokesmodels out there. I guarantee you, within the year, Ann Coulter will have her own show.
Well, probably. She'll wind up as White House press secretary.
Absolutely. Well, everybody will be hypnotized by her Adam's apple or whatever, you know. I don't know what that is in there. It's an old phallus or something that got stuck. I don't know what it is.
It's very weird.
It's a phallus callus, I think. I don't know. She had to get to where she is somehow.
All right, now be careful, Doug. You're treading very close to the dump button.
I'm sorry. I won't go any further.
All right.
But it is. It's going to be just, we're going to have nothing but infotainment, as Randy calls it.
Right.
That's all we're going to have on TV, and the news is slowly disappearing. We're turning to blogs for our news.
Yeah, well, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Well,
than John Stewart, and that's getting ridiculous. You know what
that's
I mean?
That's true. And Air America. Hey, listen,
well, Doug, God bless you.
Here's the music. Thanks, Doug. I appreciate you checking in. Take care, pal. Take care. Yeah, if you haven't read Krugman's column today in the New York Times, please do read it. I read practically the whole damn thing during the first hour, but you've got to read it. Media in this country are finally, especially the New York Times, are finally waking up to what they have enabled where it concerns the Bush crime family. You got to read it. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malone on Air America.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
I can look you in the eye and tell you I feel I've tried to solve the problem diplomatically to the max and would have committed troops both in Afghanistan and Iraq knowing what I know today.
Well, I'd like to tell you something, looking you right in the eye, George. I really would. Back to your phone calls. Jim is calling from Pennsylvania. Jim, welcome to the program. Is that say Jim in Pennsylvania? Hello? Jim?
Can't you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Is this Jim in Pennsylvania?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hey, Jim. Thanks for holding on. Sorry for the phone screw up there. Welcome to the program.
Okay. Glad to be aboard. I was thinking of some music you could use to illustrate Bush's Fairyland. Have you ever heard of Gene Autry's Big Rock Candy Mountain?
Yes, I have.
I think that would be excellent. I'm sorry.
No, you can't. You can't do that. All right. When you do say stuff like that, then we have to move on. Sorry about that. Philip, or Phil, is calling from San Diego. Phil, welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening, Mike.
How you doing?
Yeah, I won't do that. your screener warned me about using any kind of dirty language. So.
Good. Well, that's good. We just, you know, we'd rather keep it nice and clean and sterile.
Well, basically, I am so glad that you did tell that story about, it was like in the beginning of your show when you revealed that information about when Bush was over in Austria and they basically didn't want any of his duty to be released, because that tells it all right there. I mean, if they got a hold of that, then they would have said, holy S, or he's just an LSOS, a lying sack of you-know-what. And I realized, I wish you could play that tape that just before Suzanne's, when she was asking him some really pertinent questions, and he, it was like so condescending of him, what he did to her.
Oh, my God. It's
just mind-boggling. But what he said in the soundbite that you had before that, when he was talking about the six, you know, countries getting together, and he said, when I was president, does he know something? Like, when I was president, he doesn't even know that he's still a president?
I caught that, too, but, you know, what the hell?
It's mind-boggling.
I know.
But what I'm trying to get to is maybe he knows something, like his days are numbered, maybe, we hope. I just, man, I'm thankful that you're there, because it's like you said. I mean, like the man earlier about, I forget what his name, I think Doug, or what he said about our news media is just, it's a laughingstock.
Oh, it's awful. And what they're realizing, I think, and I think Paul Krugman is trying to sound the klaxon that news media or the press, as we like to call it, has forget television. Television is utterly useless. But the print medium, the press, the magazines and newspapers, especially the big dailies that have been so determined to going all the way back to 2000, paint Al Gore as some kind of a moron and George Bush as some kind of who's going to save us from 8 years of peace and prosperity that we had during Clinton Gore. And the new the press now is having their face shoved into the toilet. I don't remember. Did you ever see the movie Trainspotting?
No.
Okay. Well, there's a couple scenes in there where the junkies are so determined to get their drugs. They reach into a commode that is just, shall we say, overflowing.
Right.
And I think this is what Krugman in mainstream media, a lot of us in non-mainstream media, have been talking about this for 5 or 6 years. Krugman is trying to warn everybody in mainstream media, look, no matter what you do for these people, eventually they come back and not only want more, but they want to shut you down. And it's a damn shame, but that's where we are. That's where we are. It sort of tickles me to see the shock in New York Times or the L.A. Times or the Washington Post, the absolute shock that they're being threatened with lawsuits and arrests and charges of treason for reporting the truth. And
it's okay
shocked.
For the president and the rest of them to lie, but nobody else can say, you know, open their mouths. You know, it's unbelievable.
Well, it's that's what happens when you live in a fascist state. Hey, Philip, thanks, man. I appreciate
You're
you
welcome.
Checking in. All right, take care. Take care. Yes, Kathy.
I'm still just trying to wrap my my mind around the fact that Bush's poop is classified.
don't.
Everything is classified, right down to his fecal matter.
No, don't. Don't even think about that. That'll make you insane. I mean, if you think about that, it'll make you insane. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for the Forward. That's 800-641-2626.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
A good news story from EliteGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed a difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at EliteGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
by the day I'm more confused.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. A couple of emails here very quickly. This is from San Diego, from Bruce, and his last name. Mike, I listen to you as much as possible on Air America in San Diego. One of the reasons you are my favorite commentator on that station is not only because of your views, but how you express them, i.e. when you get so angry that you spout out those cuss words. Please don't stop doing that. I think it's great. You should hear the words I use when I see that lying, law-breaking, warmongering moron of a president on TV. I have to either leave the room or turn the television off. One other comment I would like to make is that I wish the spineless Democrats would start yelling for the impeachment of this disaster in the White House. There's no doubt in my mind that he should be impeached, removed from office, and prosecuted for his crimes. If I'm not mistaken, this idiot took an oath to defend the Constitution, but has continuously violated the oath. Welcome to the United Police States of America. I'm angry. Thanks for letting me vent. Sincerely, Bruce, is his last name. Well, I appreciate it, Bruce. Now, I just decided to, for the time being, just to ease off the bastards and the sons of bitches and stuff like that. I don't know, just something I'm trying to do to maybe improve the quality of the program. If it doesn't work, then I'll go back to it. Linda in Boone, North Carolina, writes regarding these phony terrorist threats that we're getting now. Linda writes, right, Mike, these rounding up of terror cells, all in quotes, missiles aimed at Hawaii and on, in our bleeding, dying republic are the fear replacements for the color-coded alerts. The rogue Ministry of Ghouls knows it can't use the color code ruse against this election, again, this election cycle. Absolutely incredible. Yeah, Linda, it is. And what is truly remarkable is that the media seems to be going for it. Once again, when I read the press reports of these phony-ass terror plots, like, this thing from Miami, oh, my God. You know, these seven guys from Miami who are now being held without bond because of their plan to get some new shoes and little walk-around money and then go blow up the Sears Tower in Chicago. It's just incredible, just incredible. So, you know, if you are thinking about taking seriously that guy that's been hanging around your posse about, hey, you guys want to make some money? Man, hey, listen up. I've got some really good CD players and stuff here, and video, DVD stuff, and some new shoes and leather jackets and stuff. Let's get together, and we'll meet like every other night. And I've got this new thing I'm doing. See, it kind of combines Islam and Christianity, and we're going to pray and chant and stuff, you know. And then when it's like all over, like in the middle of it or something like that, you know, we got this plan, man. Y'all want to go blow something up? Wouldn't that be cool? No, you don't? Well, look, we'll get to that later. Now, the shoes, what kind of shoes you want? Huh? Jesus, God. I don't know. I don't know. Back to your phone calls. Barbie is calling from Crawford, Texas. Barbie, welcome to the
panel. Yes.
Hello?
Mike?
Yes, yes.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. What a delight. I just found you last night, although I've known about Air America for even seeing the whole HBO thing. Unfortunately, I live out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to get internet access.
Well, are you
anyway?
Well, Barbie, do you live near Mr. Bush's ranch?
Oh my God! You know what? He's from Connecticut, so please refrain from that accent unless you're trying to be friendly to me.
I'm trying to be friendly to you.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike.
Do you live near his ranch?
Honey, please. I don't say ranch.
No, but George does when he's
yeah,
in.
Yeah, no, honey. Unfortunately, I have the dubious honor. I lived 12 miles from Hope when I was 7 years old.
Uh-huh.
And now then, 40 years later, I live about 8 years from Crawford.
Well, I see.
I was delighted about the former, and until I found out that, because I just moved here recently,
uh-huh.
Well, from Waco, but I understand Cindy Sheehan and all that are going to be a couple of miles down the road, so it's going to work out so that I can go meet other people, because God knows that what's happening in this country is not available on the TV.
That's true.
And if they have their way, they're going to make sure that we don't have any internet access, which is, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be talking, I wouldn't be hearing you anyway. So I'm so excited finally, because it's just been a heartbreak to me, because this man has claimed himself as a Texan and overtaken the state and overtaken the country and trying to overtake the world. But anyway, really the reason I called, and thank you so much for letting me just go on and on, but the real reason I called, I have two things I'd like to say. One, that woman, because I don't listen to the mainstream media on TV,
uh-huh.
But that woman, she asked him some hard questions, and she made him squirm. So I'm going to have to say she's been the first one I've heard, and I heard it on your show, ask a tough question.
That was Suzanne Malveaux from CNN.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. And so I have to say, God bless her. We need to get behind her, because we need more just like her. Okay.
Well, I hope she doesn't have a heart attack.
Well, no, I'm just saying that, you know, we don't need to preach to the choir, honey. We need all the converted we can get.
That's very true.
If people in the mainstream media want to come home, we will welcome them with open arms. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I'm willing to do that, Barbie. I'm more than willing to do that. Sure.
And then the next thing is about, you know, Bush saber rattling. Last thing he's going to do is saber rattle to Korea, because it's not on his agenda. It has nothing to do with the corporate takeover of what's going on. It has nothing to do with oil. And so, I mean, that's why he challenged our girl. Well, can you tell me? I mean, but he was sure, and if they weren't sure about the weapons of mass destruction, then you saw the Dick Cheney thing on PBS about to turn over every rock. Well, I'm telling you. And so if we all remember when he was first, quote, elected or took office or whatever, or when he was presented as a candidate in this nation before 2000, they chided that his foreign policy was weak.
Mm-hmm.
But who the hell cared back then? Because it was 8 years of unprecedented prosperity and peace, and you know what I'm saying? So
yes.
It's unthinkable that we would come into this thing where we all are fearing for our democracy, fearing for our planet, and fearing that God, can I even talk on the show right now? Can I even say my name?
Yeah.
And the websites? I mean, seriously, can you believe his foreign policy? And so now I'm telling you, he's the number one terrorist threat in the world, because he is terrorizing my conversation with you, my listening to you on the show, book read. I ordered Ted Kennedy's Crimes Against Nature.
Uh-huh.
You know, they can get my book report. Who am I buying books from?
Isn't that astonishing? Did you ever think it'd come that? Barbie, listen, I've got to take a break here, so I'm going to have to say thank you very much for calling. I hope you call again. You've only just heard of Air America?
Well, no, I heard of it when it came in, and And I've seen it, but I just live out in the middle of nowhere, and so I just recently gained internet access.
Okay, well, listen,
I've been doing the internet for 15 years, and I'm telling you, you need to get on this thing, because if we don't get behind this so-called internet, what the heck? Anyway, we've got to get behind this, because if we don't do it in October, then we lose the internet, which means lose our voice. We lose what you and I are doing right now. That is important. Everything is important, but we've got to keep communicating. We've lost the media.
I got you. Listen, thanks, Barbie. I appreciate you checking in. You have a nice weekend, okay?
Well, last night. Look it up, hon.
Okay. Take care, Barbie. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
got to say goodbye to Dee Neal, our call screener and associate producer in New York City. This is her last night.
Don't go!
And that's the reason for the music. Oh, I hate it when we lose part of the crew. We're going to miss you, Dee. Thank you very much for all your work. Go knock them dead in with your career, theater, singing, musician. I wonder if they'll play this for me when I have to leave Air America for whatever reason. Thanks to the crew. The program was engineered by Vicki Hipple and our resident rock star Jason Isaac in New York. Dee Neal and David Weissmuth answered your calls tonight. Oh, we're going to miss Dee. Also, thanks to our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, who is our webmaster, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is our music bureau. No, she's not. She's the executive producer. I'm sorry. Don't fire me, Kathy. Back to your phone calls here very quickly. Preston is calling from Denver. Preston, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike. Thanks. I always enjoy the bumper music Kathy provides.
She's very good at that. Very good, yeah.
Was that Sheryl Crow doing the Let's Get Free song?
It was indeed.
Oh, great. I like that. Also, I was wondering if you happen to know if your friend Victor in prison, if he can receive books or magazines in the prison he's in.
You know, I don't know. I don't know how restrictive they are. Somebody emailed me and said they sent to Victor a stamped self-addressed envelope and a couple of blank pieces of paper so that Victor had something to write with to write back, which is not necessary. He has access to that. And this emailer said that it came back. The prison did not allow a stamped return envelope. And I don't know. I guess I figured if you peeled off the stamp and licked it, it was full of LSD. I have no idea.
Yeah, who knows?
You know, this is in Puerto Rico, which I guess is the same restrictions as American prisons. Victor is an American. It's just that he got transferred there because of some of the crime he committed was in the Virgin Islands, I believe, and that's where they put him for the time being. But write to him and ask him.
Yeah, I'll definitely try to drop him a line.
That would be great.
The restrictions vary, and there are some really intense battles going on around freedom of consciousness in the prisons. So I know the ACLU is working on it, and they need support.
Mm-hmm.
I was also doing some research, speaking of where to get alternative views. I was checking out Wikipedia and looking over North Korea and the Korean War. We really... Us and the Russians, the geopolitical games we played really decimated that country, killed hundreds of thousands of people, destroyed 75% of the physical structures. And one can understand why they're a little crazy these days. And I think we need to be more compassionate towards them. And instead of spending more money on a new weapon system, I think we could invest in solar power for them and other forms of reparations, which we owe those people. Also on Wikipedia, I noticed that you have an entry, Mike. Did you know that?
I'm aware of that. I think it's been modified a couple of times, or things have been added to it, but yeah.
Yeah, it's great, and I was happy to see that Marge got a notice as well.
Yes, you're right. Well, I haven't checked the entry for a while because I was kind of reluctant to go there because, you can edit Wikipedia entries pretty much at will at one point. I guess it's a little more restrictive now. Because there was some editing going on political entries, candidates, and was it really got nasty, which defeats the purpose of what Wikipedia is all about, which is, you know, it's a shame.
That's true. And one last comment I'd like to make. It was so ironic. A person from Crawford just called in. I read recently in this magazine called Solar Today about how Bush's Crawford Ranch is actually this model of green architecture.
Yeah, I've read that too. It's all sorts of energy efficient protocols have been installed. I think they have solar heating for the water supply. It just goes on and on. It's just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think maybe we need to kind of out him as a closeted eco-wacko. You know, I think right now he's in this system where he's supposed to act just as a oil businessman. But I think, you know, it would be great if we could get like the Sopranos of our corporate world to get into the wind and solar business, you know, make their money that way instead of with all these weapons.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, well, I agree. Preston, thank you. I appreciate appreciate you checking in. Thanks for your comments. Have we got time for another? What do you think? Huh? All right, let's try. How about Alan in Texas? Alan, very quickly.
Hi there, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
Doing fine. How are you, Alan?
Oh, great. Hey, I just want to thank you for all your work. And I wanted to let you know that I have been blogging some of the stuff that you had talked about in regard to COAST earlier this month.
Yeah.
Daily COAST. And right. I posted that I did some of what you had said as a transcript on my blog. If anybody's interested in seeing that, you can go to Reprehensor, just like it sounds, Reprehensor .tv. And I've got a blog there. And I blogged a bunch of that.
Send me a link.
Okay.
Yeah, just send it. Send it to Mike at MikeMalloy.com. Just send me a link. I'd love to see what you got going.
All right. And earlier this month, it's been quite a month, and actually about a month and a half for generally 911 stuff, and it kind of started towards the end of May, and I was wondering if you had heard about that, the late Zogby, which had showed an even greater increase in the amount of people that were.
I haven't seen it yet, but I do hear the music, Alan, which means we got to get out of here. Call me next week. We'll have more time to chat. Thanks a lot for checking in, pal. Thanks for participating in the program tonight, however you did that. We'll see you Monday night, okay? Have a great weekend. Take care. Watch your back. Watch out for terrorists. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. Well, that's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.